Amen. God bless you tonight.
Amen.
Y'all just pray for me. I've had some, I don't know what it is, but it's the devil. We always know that. But I've had some kind of cramp in my hand that affects my thumb, and so I'm not going to play the guitar tonight. But this is for Sister Audrey Thomas. She always wants me to sing this song. So, it's Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. And I just love this song. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountain till the break of day, and into the a lovely ray. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory. The light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Brother Lewis comes. Let's sing a chorus one more time as he comes. Oh, beautiful star. Shine upon us until the glory.
star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Aren't you glad that that star still shines?
Amen.
Amen.
It's not just the star of Bethlehem, it's the North Star. Amen. It's always shining, all the time. And it's there to guide us. Every time you look up, it doesn't move.
It's always in the same place. It's always there. It's steadfast. It never moves. Amen. You see it here. You see it there right now. And next year, you'll see it in the same spot. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad? So I like that star better than the Star of Bethlehem. The Star of Bethlehem, amen, guided us to the baby. This star guides us to eternal life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We appreciate all the specials and the special Brother Aaron, and we just thank God. I want to thank each and every one of you for your gifts and for Sunday. Thank you, Brother Dale. Thank you, Sister Peggy, Brother Terrence, each and every one of you, Brother Wade. Thank you all for what you do. Amen. We appreciate everything, and so we're just thankful for each and every one of you. You know, we can get gifts, but there's not a better gift than the person, than the giver. You see, I can have the gift, you know, but it's better. The gift is supposed to always remind me of the giver. So sometimes we just get the gift and that's it. But we get the gift, it should always remind us of the giver. Amen. So we just appreciate Brother Dale. Appreciate Sister Peggy. Thank you for a good time we had Sunday. And just a quick announcement. I just wanted to mention to you all. You all remember us in your prayers. We're going to be heading out for Nicaragua on January 11th through the 23rd. So we'll be there about 2 weeks. And it'll only be Nicaragua this time. Just one country. Last time it was three countries. And it'll only be for 2 weeks. Not 7.5 weeks like last time. But during this time frame, the youth camp that is usually held by BYC, that Brother Mike Siebert started back in the 60s, 70s, I believe it was, and they do a similar youth camp down in Nicaragua, and he started that back in the 90s, I believe, and so we're gonna be there during that time. And this time I'm going to take, we're going to have Brother Bob Black with us. So, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to it, as I know he is. And this will be I guess this will be your first mission trip, right? So I figure he got his passport, might as well take him out. Get them to do something. I told the brothers down there that, you know, I believe that the people down there would benefit from his ministry as well. And so we're not going to just be part of the youth camp that's there. We're also going to minister into the Bride of Christ and other churches around the area as well. And I'll be his interpreter. So I'll be preaching along with him, but I won't be preaching. But so you just pray for us. We're also going to take a few of the youth from here. Nyla is going to be going with us. Michael Benungwe, he's going to be going with us. And I believe that's it from here. Yeah, well, my daughters, they're going out, obviously. And then there's Sister Jordan from Texas. She's going to be going, so she's going to be coming as well. And so we're looking to have a good time, and I believe it'll be a good experience for the youth as well. I'd say if you can go out of the country at least one time in your life, and not to just vacation or go on a cruise, but actually live with the people, it'll change your life. It'll make you see things much different. It'll make you appreciate what you have. And so that's kind of what one of the hopes of this trip is. So you remember us in your prayers, as we'll be doing that. Also, remember me in your prayers. I'll be speaking in South Carolina on the 18th. So for Brother Gene Williams, he messaged me today, and I told him that should be fine, so I'm waiting for his reply. So Amen. You remember us in your prayers as well for that. If you have your Bibles this evening, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I appreciate your patience. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know that maybe we've heard these questions before, but and if the brothers back there, what I'll do is I'll just use my phone just to show the video and the images. So, so they can pull up the scriptures. But I know that in dealing with people, we always have to deal with these questions, and you know, and a lot of our youth, they're having to deal with these questions. You know, the more and more everything's becoming more secularized, and the youth are the people are being led to believe more in science than the Word of God. There's a theme or almost like a religion. It's called scientism, and it's where if science can't prove it, then it doesn't exist, and it's not reality. And sometimes us as Christians, we tend to almost believe more in science than we do Word of God. The Word of God tells us something, and it clearly, directly says something, but yet, because NASA said something, or, you know, we kind of just lean more towards NASA because they know better than God. That's kind of the attitude that we take sometimes. Or it can not just be NASA, because the government said so. They know more than God. Because we're advanced. We've advanced more than God. But I, you know what? I'd rather stay with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is God-breathed. God breathed His Word. And He knew the beginning from the end. NASA only knows up to a certain point. Government knows up to a certain point. But God knows through all eternity. Amen. So here's a dilemma that our people, the people have today is, can we trust a book that is written by man? How do I know that it's even true? How do I know that the Bible is true? How do you know that the Bible is true? Why are we so consumed with the Word of God that it, you know, we believe that it's the Word of God? And what's so special about the Bible from any other book that you might find in the library? So we want to talk about that this evening. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. It says here, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." This is Paul speaking to Timothy, a young man. He was a young man. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now, I'm sure we can all say the same thing too. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will have a flowery bed of ease." It doesn't say that, does it? Shall suffer persecution. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But watch what he says here. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul here is saying that these scriptures will make you wise, but they can only work if you have faith in them as well. Without faith, the scripture can't help you. All scripture, this is the scripture I want to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to open back the pages of your word. We ask that you would forgive us, first of all, Lord, for our sins and the iniquities. Lord God, cleanse us, Father, for sometimes we get out of step, Lord. We err, Father, in the way, Lord, through our thoughts, through the things we do, the things we say. We ask you, Father, for forgiveness now, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us, Father, from all unrighteousness. And we ask that you would just help us here tonight, Lord, as we endeavor to just open back the pages of your word and just look at this here, Father God, of the assurance that you've given us through your scriptures, Lord God. Help us, Father, to leave here edified and you glorified, Lord. For we ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Brother Branham states here in Satan's Eden, he says this. He says that that's all I know to tell you, that this Bible, I believe with all my heart, if I know my heart to be the perfect, unadulterated word of God. Goodness, what a tongue twister there. By this I live, by this I stand. And if I had 10,000 lives, what he says here, if I had 10,000 lives, in other words, if he could live over 10,000 times, I'd like to give every bit of it for this word. For it's the word of Jesus Christ. And I don't care how much they can try to disprove it, how much science tries to say it isn't trustworthy and so forth. To me, it's the only thing in the world I can trust. It's this word. Amen. He is mine. I love him, don't you? Praise the Lord. So there's nothing better that we could put our bank our souls on. And in some places, Brother Branham says, where I can bank my soul on, but the word of God. The word of God doesn't change his mind. God doesn't say one thing at one place and then later on he changes his mind. What it says is exactly what it means. Do you really believe that? So sometimes we try to explain something away. Well, he didn't mean that way exactly, because see, science now tells us. I don't think so. It means exactly what it says. Praise the Lord Jesus. 2 Peter 1:16 tells us this. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you." This is Peter talking. Now, Peter was an eyewitness of what happened in the life of Jesus. So he knew first account. He saw the things that he was talking about. So he knew what he was talking about. But he says here, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." In other words, stories. Amen. "When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You know what? Peter was, I mean, he went through it all with the life of Jesus. He went through the good times with Jesus. He went through bad times with Jesus. And he went through good and bad times without Jesus. I mean, just a man that came to a point where he denied Jesus three times, fulfilling what Jesus had said to him directly, that that's what you were going to do. And he said, "I won't do it." And he did it. And he that followed, I'm sure, followed him all the rest of his life. But you know what? Jesus never rubbed that in his face. He just said, you just fulfilled what I told you. You fulfilled my word. So what a wonderful thing. And Peter here is a witness for it. He says here, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is talking about Jesus. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." What he says here, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now you say, you might think, well, The New Testament, I don't know if I can trust it. And I don't even know if I could trust the Old Testament. But Jesus trusted the Old Testament enough because quoted it many, many times. So if you can't believe Jesus, then you really don't believe the Old Testament either. Because for one, Jesus is the word that went through the Old Testament, right? And then here he is in the form of the Holy Spirit speaking through these men here in the New Testament. So it's Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do well. Watch, that ye do well that ye take heed. In other words, you listen. And you listen to it. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture, let me say that again, that no prophecy of the scripture, no scripture or no Bible verse is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? It means that it didn't come privately or somebody just thought of just writing that. No. Somebody lived it out, and then it happened, and somebody penned it out. And we're going to take a look here at some things as to what will help you to know, why can I trust the scriptures? Why can I trust the Bible? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So it wasn't, no man ever thought about the word of God the way it's written. Nobody ever found the word of God hidden under a rock somewhere and say, "Whoa, we're just going to publish this book. We found under a book." Never. Because the word of God has changed lives. And the fact that it causes people to die for this word, something is taking place. I mean, there was thousands, millions of people that are actually willing to give up their life. They weren't just dragged to the stables or to the crosses to get hung. They willingly walked in there and said, "For this I die, for this I stand." Just as Brother Brandon was saying. The question is, are you willing to do that? Or will something happen or take place or come to your life that would want to make you not even stand for this word the way you should? My. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now these are eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. This is Luke right here in Luke chapter 1. And I'm just kind of putting this as a foundation. I'll read a little quicker and then comment less. Luke 1:1-4 says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." So they believed these things. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know." This is why he's writing. That Luke was writing his biography. Is it biography or of Jesus? Right? "That thou..." What is it? Biography? Is that what? "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Amen. So Luke wasn't one of the disciples. He wasn't probably there like maybe Peter was the whole time. Amen. So how did Luke get all of these things? Amen. It must have been that the Holy Spirit was at work. Because the Holy Spirit knows all things. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is that word, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So let's look here at some history here. Now the word Bible, it comes from the Latin word, which is Biblia. Biblia, and that's actually the Spanish word for Bible. That's why it's easy for me to remember that. It comes from the Latin word Bible, which means a collection of books. That's what that word means. So that's where we get the word bibliothek, which is a library, right? We use biblioteca in Spanish. And so that's the word Bible. Now, ask this question. Why should I trust the Bible? Why should I trust the Bible? Young people, I know that sometimes the devil comes and he comes to you directly and says, why? You've been going to church and listening to the word of God, the message, you're listening to all this. Why should I even trust it? Isn't it just like any other book that's written out there? Isn't it just, what is it? What if some man just happened to just start making things up and just writing things down? It's changed too many lives for that to just been just by coincidence. And it's still changing lives. Amen. There's never been one person that has never been exposed to the word of God that hasn't had some sort of change, either for the positive or the negative. The word of God changes. Because listen, if you accept the word, it'll be a blessing to you. If you reject the word, it'll become a curse to you. Amen. So either way, it's going to have an effect on you. Amen. Tell me what book in this world can do that. Edgar Allan Poe's writings, did they ever do anything like that? No. They make you scared. And they make you think of a man who, man, that dude is a freak. I mean, have you ever read Edgar Allan Poe stuff? I mean, we used to read the things in high school. They would make us read those things and write something about it. There was something weird in that dude's mind. But they glorify Edgar Allan Poe like he's just this great thing. And then you talk about Jesus Christ and his word. We don't know about that. Edgar Allan Poe is much more popular than Jesus. Amen. The writings of Plato, the writings of all these different, you look at those writings and they seem to be more popular than Jesus on the surface. But the Bible has been the most sold book that there ever has been. So why should I trust the Bible? Well, for one, there's archaeological evidence. Genesis and in Exodus, there's archaeological evidence of the things that was said. People have gone back and actually have seen what the Bible talks about. I can think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah right there. Exactly the way the Bible talks about it. You can go over there and actually pick up the sulfur balls and the things that fell from it. You might have to dig them out a little bit, but there's videos on YouTube. You can go look. And people set fire to them and everything. How did those sulfur balls get to? I can't even talk tonight. Sulfur balls get there. If the scripture, amen, exactly didn't. What happened there didn't happen. You know, it was said in the scripture. As I said, it's the best-selling book of all time. Another example is that, you know, the Red Sea crossing. I don't know if you, there's documentaries where they've actually found the possible places where the children of Israel have crossed. And they've actually have found like chariot wheels and things right there at the bottom of the ocean. So, I mean, how did that get there? You see? So it's like I said, it's not just a book that somebody just happened to just find under a rock. Amen. Amen. But it's something that's actually changing lives. If you take it to heart, if you have faith in it, praise the Lord. Now, here's one thing that you can look at with regards to the Word of God. And it's the honesty test. The honesty test. Now, the writers of the Bible, if they wanted to lie, if they wanted to say, just make up all these things and say just all kinds of lies to you, why not just say beautiful things and nice things about themselves the whole time? No. Instead, we find Moses, who is one of the writers of the Bible, writing things about himself that you probably would not even mention about yourself. Remember, he wrote the first, I believe it was the first five books of the Bible. And in there, you'll find where Moses, he wrote where he was supposed to speak to the rock. And instead, he got upset and struck the rock. And because of that, he was not able to go into the promised land. Exodus, I believe it's Exodus, that tells us about that. Who wrote that? Amen. Moses himself. So he wrote something negative about himself. You take, for example, John, you know, when he was talking about that, the disciples were arguing with each other about who's the greatest in the kingdom. They were fussing with each other about who's the greatest in the kingdom. But that's there for our benefit.
Yeah,
right. Right? But they would write negative things about their experiences as well. Look at Paul.
Right.
He wrote about himself going and persecuting the Christians and killing them.
Yep.
What good writer, I mean, what writer would write things about himself that way? I mean, I would just write just nice flowery things. I mean, just the way people do it on Facebook nowadays. They show an image of yourself that it's really not you. But these writers of the word didn't write just flowery, beautiful things about themselves or their experiences. They wrote negative things as well. Amen? So that is one of the reasons why you can trust the Word of God. Because these writers were honest about their experiences. About the things that they went through. I just didn't see miracles. I also failed the Lord Jesus. I denied the Lord Jesus three times. Can you imagine the shame? And we never find Peter where he rebuked any of the writers of the four Gospels and told them, don't write that about me. Don't put that in there. Don't put that in there. No. He let them. Because that's God inspired. See, Peter didn't understand that he was doing that, but it was to be written for our benefit today. And so sometimes, saints, you might find, why am I in this situation? I have fallen in this situation. I'm in this situation. But God might use that for a benefit for somebody else later on. Peter's downfall, Peter's occasion of that caused him to cry, became a blessing to you and me.
Amen.
If we make a mistake, Jesus won't rub it in our face.
Amen.
He's willing to forgive. Praise the Lord. We can look through all the scriptures. Hosea, he wrote about himself. What did Hosea do? Hosea wrote about himself asking, God asked him to marry a prostitute. That's in the Bible. Now, there was a purpose for that. And you just go back in the Bible and read it. But he wrote that about himself, about his experience. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then, of course, Paul persecuted the Christians. And all these men, they gave their time and their lives for the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And in looking at some of the, for example, the way the disciples died, some of them died horrible deaths. Think about it. Peter was crucified, and he told them, don't crucify me the way my Lord was crucified. He said, crucify me upside down. That's how much he was willing to die. And if they were telling lies, why not just recant? Right there and say, oh, no, I don't believe this God, this Jesus, and I don't want to, you know, they were willing to die for it. They were willing to die. So if there's, you can go back and read the histories on the disciples, on the way they died. I believe the only one that died of old age, a natural, was John. I think he died was like 90 something years old. All the other ones, they were persecuted. They died horrible deaths. So to me, saints, that tells me, amen, that these authors of the Bible, these authors of this of the Gospels, they were more concerned about truth than they were about themselves. They were more concerned about giving you the truth than they were about their own, even their own lives. So young people, that's one of the reasons why you can trust the Word of God. Don't Satan comes around saying that's just a man's book. No, it's the word inspired, the breathed out word of God.
Yeah,
Praise the Lord Jesus. All right, there's another test that we can look at, and that is what it's called the time gap test. And it's the time for when the author wrote the original manuscript to the time of a copy of that manuscript was written. Amen? So when the Bible was written, let's just think about the book of Luke. When the book of Luke was written, to the time that it was written, to the time that there was a copy of that manuscript, amen, there wasn't but less than 50 years that had took place. Because remember, back then, when they would copy things, it wasn't through text message and it wasn't through email. It was handwritten. Somebody had to look at the original manuscripts and to make copies of the manuscripts of the Bible. They had to sit there and pen that manually. So if you let a lot of time pass by from the time that the original manuscript took place, was written, to the time that a copy came to be written, if there's a great wide gap there, then there's things that are going to be missing.
That's right. Amen.
There's things that are liable to be missing.
Right.
But the Word of God isn't that way.
Amen.
It's about less than 50 years, amen, that from the time that, let's just say, the book of Luke, that the manuscript of the Gospels was written, the copies of it was written then. It's kind of interesting too that the message of the hour, the message that God's given us, you see how quickly it was transcribed.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't transcribed. Now my wife, she knows all about transcription because that's what she does. It's not an easy job.
No.
If you think that sitting there listening and typing, especially listening to Brother Branham, is tough. And I'm just thankful for these brethren that took their time to do that. These sisters that do that we can now read the message and not just hear it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but during that time that the message was you know, Brother Branham preached the message, it wasn't too long after that it was put in text. Amen. Now, you can look here, for example, there is a Roman historian by the name of Pliny the Younger. The time gap from when he wrote his manuscripts to the copies that we have now, 750 years passed. But he's an authority. He's a historian. The time gap that we have of Caesar's writings to now, to the manuscripts that of his original writings to the copies, is 1,000 years that had passed. Plato's time gap of his writings is 1,200 years. And then Alexander the Great's time gap is 400 years. But the Bible's was less than 50 years. But we say, well, these men existed. Alexander the Great existed, Plato and all these men, they existed. But I don't know about Jesus. I don't know about him. You see how the devil works? I don't know if we can trust what he said, you know. But we'll read Plato and Alexander the Great and all these men all day long.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Nobody questions these historical figures' existence. But when it comes to Jesus, he's questioned whether he existed or not. Amen. Praise God. Now, another test that we can do is how many manuscripts are available. All we know about Caesar is that there's only 10 manuscripts of his writings. All right, I know this is kind of, just bear with me, okay? We're getting to something. We're getting to something. There's only about 10 manuscripts of his writing. About Plato's, it's about 7 manuscripts of his writings. Amen. There was a Roman historian by the name of Tacitus. He had 20 manuscripts. Guess how many manuscripts the Bible has? I want to take a guess. Brother Wade. 24,633 manuscripts of the Word that are available, and the number keeps going up, right? The second most manuscripts that are available out there for any book is the Iliad, written by Homer, and that has only 643 manuscripts. That is a difference of 23,990. The Bible has many more manuscripts. So these manuscripts and these things have been passed down from, and God has guarded these things so that we can enjoy it today in this book form, so that we can enjoy it today in even in tablet form. Praise God. So you don't tell me that Jesus Christ is not more popular than Homer. Nobody died for Homer, but somebody died for Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. Amen. Amen. Throughout time. Amen. And then there's another thing that you can look at is the corroboration test. Are there other historical materials or writings that corroborate or deny the testimony of the Bible? And in looking into this, there are 9 non-Christian sources and 33 Christian sources that mention Jesus within 150 years of his death. So there's other sources outside of the Bible that mention Jesus and his life. All right. So there's about 42 known sources that we know that. Tiberius Caesar and the Roman emperor at the time of Jesus lived. He had only 10 sources that mention him within the 150 years of his life. Amen. But we say he's more real than Jesus is. No, I don't think so. Jesus had, he had more, 4 times more resources. Amen. So we know that outside of the Bible that Jesus lived, performed miracles, and that people believed on him. Outside of the Bible, there's corroboration of that. Now, let me ask you this question. Why is the Bible in letter form? Why couldn't the Lord just given it to us in video format from the beginning? Why couldn't he just give it to us in images? GIFs. Animated GIFs. We like to text with animated GIFs nowadays. Why can't they be in that way? And I want to give you all an example. So we got props today. If the brothers could pull my phone up, if they don't mind. All right. I see you. Okay. All right. Here's this picture right here. And I want someone to tell me who these people are. Can somebody just take a guess? Yes, Sarah. Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph. By looking at that picture, you think Mary and Joseph. Okay. All right. Anybody else? One. Josh. Just whatever. Whatever comes to your mind that is. Okay. It says me and Sister Christine. All right. Sister Anna Kennard, what do you think?
Just a man and a woman to me.
Just a couple. Okay. A couple. All right. What if I told you that it's a brother and a sister named Tommy and Caitlin on a trip to Spain with each of their own families? While each of their families were sightseeing, Caitlin asked Tommy's wife, Andrea, if she could take a picture of her and her brother, since they don't have many pictures together and haven't taken one together in a long time. So Andrea did. Let's just say if this was a picture. Now, how do you know that's true? There's got to be an element of faith there now. Do you know that I looked at this picture and I'm the one who made that up? Because that's what I saw when I saw that picture. But you see, you took my word for it. Amen? That's why so sometimes we just have to take the word of God in that same way.
Amen.
Why is it that the Lord didn't give us the word of God in picture form? Because there will be all these different interpretations of what certain something is. Whereas in text, you just saw that I could give details. exactly of what that was. Right. Well, what was in my mind.
Right.
And what we read in the Word of God is what was in the mind of God.
Amen.
You see why it's so important to read. God could have given us in a different format, but He chose to give it to us in text form because it could be in more details,
right?
And it could also produce an image in your mind as you're reading, right? It transcends you to the place. There's some places in the Word of God that you're reading, and it goes into details, and it's almost like if you're there, right? Praise the Lord. I'm going to play this video right here. I want you to tell me what they think it is. Yeah, there is a doggy underneath there. All right. Bella, what do you think it is? No guess? Anybody want to take one guess? Just one guess. Brother Wade.
Father and a daughter.
Father and a daughter.
That's what I'd say.
Okay. You got father and a daughter. What if I told you that this was a brother and a sister sitting together at a park bench? The sister is trying to comfort her brother as he talks to him because he just lost his wife due to cancer a few weeks prior. The sister understands what her brother is going through because she had lost her husband in a car accident and she was left a widow 4 years prior. Now, so you couldn't get all those details just watching that video. You see what I'm saying? But I just read you in text form or something I just made up. But you believed it, right? Same thing with the Word of God. Why? That's why the Word of God is so important, that it's in text format.
Amen.
All right. And then here's picture number three. I don't even know what that picture is. Yeah, I was giving Joe a massage. That's what it was. Well, hopefully that woke some of you up. Amen. It definitely wasn't recent. Joe looks a little younger there. All right. So does the point come across as to why reading the Word of God is so important?
Amen.
And why thank God that He gave it to us in text form.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's talk about the alive Word. Amen. Why the alive Word is still so relevant for us today. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us this. Verse 16, we just read it, but we'll read it here again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
Now we know that what makes perfect is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. But what the Holy Spirit is in His Word. Amen. The Word is the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. He is His Word. Jesus said in one place, "My words are spirit and they're life."
Right.
Amen. So as you receive the Word, as you read the Word, the text of the Word, and you're taking it in by faith, then it can do something for you.
Amen.
It's breathing life into you. Amen. In the NIV version, this scripture says it this way. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." And in the ESV version, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God."
Amen.
"And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for corrections," and so forth. So, all scripture is God-breathed. which also explains the alive and active Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's the alive and active Word of God. Amen. Meaning that we can take a scripture, the scriptures that were written back then, during the time of Moses, and we can apply it to our lives today. We can bring that word all the way from Genesis and put it in some full application here in 2022. Tell me what book in the world can do that. A book that was written in the 1800s, you would not be able to put everything and apply it to our day. But the Word of God, you can.
Amen.
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 Because why? Again, the Word of God is God-breathed, is alive. Amen. So it's active. It's working. It's changing. It's moving. God is always moving. Amen. He's never stopping. He never stops. He's always in motion. And that as he moves, we move. Praise God. Now, in thinking about this, it takes me back to Genesis 2:7, where God breathed into Adam. Let's read that real quick. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When you look at the Strong's Concordance there, the word breathed, it means to breathe, to blow. Amen. And then when it talks about the breath, it's a puff. It's the word nizmat. To breathe is the word weipa. And the breath, the nizmat, a puff, wind, angry, vital breath. Watch, a divine inspiration.
Amen.
What is the word of God?
Yeah.
All word of God is inspired.
Right.
Amen. Amen. A divine inspiration, intellect, an animal of life. It's the word hayim, alive, raw, fresh, strong life.
Amen.
And then you take where it says there in Genesis 2:7, Adam became a living soul. A living is haya. And it's not haya, but it's haya. Alive, raw, fresh, strong life. And then the word soul is nephesh. What's this? Soul, self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, passion. That which breathes, the breathing substance or being, soul, the inner being of man. Amen. So God actually breathed into him. Amen. Gave him his soul. Praise God. In Genesis 2:7. Praise the Lord. Now we're all created by God. All souls are mine, says the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's your decision. If you want that soul to either continue with God or be destroyed at some point in time in your life. Yeah, how horrible it is to one day think that you exist no more. Amen. And that you can't enjoy the things that are coming hereafter. Praise God. Now, I want you to think about this because we see that the scripture, amen, it's inspired. Amen. And look at the difference, amen, the difference between Adam being alive and the living word, amen? Now, I want you to think about this. Adam was dead when God breathed into him. I mean, he wasn't living. It wasn't until God breathed into him that he became a living soul, right? But the scripture is not that way. The scripture is alive as it comes out of God.
Right.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's not dead word.
Right.
It's alive and it's a creative word.
Right.
Amen. Right. It's not dead. So when Paul was saying that all scripture is inspired by God, therein all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he's not saying that if you read the word, then get inspired, then that's when the word of God becomes inspiring. No, the word of God from the beginning, from the get-go, is already inspired. Praise the Lord Jesus. But now what that word is wanting to do is wanting to come in and live and come into a vessel to become a living word through somebody. It's already living. It already has life. It already can create. But now it wants to come in and live itself through you and I, through a vessel. The best example I could give is probably when in Isaiah chapter 7, that it was prophesied. Isaiah said that a virgin shall conceive. That word came forth. That word was alive when it came forth. It just went years and years, and that word was still alive. It was inspired. It was alive. And it finally found a vessel that it can rest up in. And it was Mary. But it was a willing vessel. It wasn't just any old 16-year-old girl that was living in Jerusalem or where Mary lived at the time. No, it was a willing vessel. That word that was already inspired when it came out of God's mouth, amen, to Isaiah, and Isaiah penned it down, amen, it was already alive. Now it wanted to rest in Mary, and Mary could say, be it unto me according to thy word. Praise the Lord Jesus. According to thy word. Not my word, not my will, but according to thy word. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So it's the word of God is alive and powerful. When God said, let there be light, amen, it was so. Amen. It's an alive and active word when it comes forth out of the mouth of God. That's why Jesus says that the man should not live by just bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because the word of God causes life. The same whole that caused Adam to live, amen, will cause you to live.
Amen.
Amen. Receive that same Holy Spirit if you can receive that word.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Why is it, so the word of God, why is it so important that we get in the word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Because we're not just dealing with just a dead letter. It's, in a way, I know sometimes we say it's dead letter. And yes, it's dead letter if it's not being lived through someone. But remember, it was God breathed. So it's got life. Amen? It's got life. Now that life, amen, wants to come into you. So that you can replicate that word. Because, I mean, it, here in the pages of the book, it's not going to do anything. But it becomes more of an inspiration to someone else if it can come into someone and live through you, live through them. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the reason why Paul could say in the gospel, in Romans, he says this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is a power.
Amen.
It was enough power to create the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
And it's enough power to create, amen, or do what it needs to do for your life.
Amen.
To everyone that believeth. What? See? Mary had to believe.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes.
Then it took action.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And it's the same thing, saints, with the word of God today.
Amen.
Just as it wanted to find a willing recipient or a willing vessel during the time of Mary, it wants to find a resting place in this hour that we live in. Let the story of what happened, the Christmas story, let it not just be in as a story. Amen. Bring it down further. Lord, let that word of God, amen, live in me. Let me give birth to this word. Just as Mary gave birth to it in the physical, let me give birth to it in the spiritual. I want to be, not just let me give birth to it, I want to be born again. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let it be something active and living and changing me from day to day.
Amen.
That as I get in the Word of God, amen, that it's not just me trying to get through a whole year of the Bible reading,
right.
But it's letting that Bible get through me. Amen. And living through me. And changing me. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes we just want to read the Word of God and just, oh, today's this scripture reading, and then, okay, I fulfilled my duty for today. Is it alive in you? What, can you go immediately and put it into action? Because that's what the Word of God wants us to do. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Branham says this here in the Mark of the Beast. He says in 1956, and then it ought not to be approached by some mental theology. It should be approached by the Scripture. Scripture must answer to Scripture. We realize that reading the Bible, you do not read it like you would a newspaper. Amen. Right. Or a magazine or anything that you enjoy reading. Back then it was newspapers. Because it's been the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to hide many things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and will reveal it to babes such as would learn. God wants somebody who's hungry. Yep. Watch this now. God wants somebody who's hungry. So he can just take them over to one side and set them down and say, here it is, child of mine, this is it. Right. Isn't that what he did with Mary? Right. He took her to the side. Yep. Yes. This is what's going to be. You've been chosen, beloved, right?
Amen.
That's what God can do for you.
Amen.
Take you to the side and reveal things to you that you've never even thought of, that are hidden in His Word.
Amen.
If you could just take the time to do it.
Yep.
I'm telling you, saints, there's so much open in the Word of God. There's so much in the Word of God that we're still not getting. Or one of the reasons why we're still here.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. Something that we're not still getting. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. So God wants somebody who's hungry. So he can just take them over to one side and set them down and say, here it is, child of mine. This is it. The world don't understand this, but ye shall understand. See? Let it be this way. Then all scripture given by inspiration, then it must be interpreted by inspiration. Amen. And then scripture must compare with scripture. You try to, they have given challenges to people about, tell me where the Bible contradicts itself. And nobody can find, nobody can show that. There may be some areas that you may look like, and that from the natural human eye, it looks like it's contradicting itself, but that's the reason why we need revelation.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation just opens the curtain up and lets you see everything clearly.
Amen.
Amen. And who can give revelation? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Who's the one that has inspired this word? Brother Branham says here, now we could take that from a dozen different angles tonight of being the Jewish nation that was cursed, and many. Every word of God written is inspiration, and it hooks the whole Bible together on every word in the Bible. It's the most wonderful book that was ever written.
Amen.
There's never a piece of literature ever written like the Bible. It's the only book in existence. Tells you where you come from, who you are, and where you're going.
Amen.
Tell me what other writer can tell you that. Amen. Tell me what Max Lucado can tell you that. All right. Edgar Allan Poe or Mark Twain. All right. They can never tell you where you're going. They can entertain you for a while. And Max Lucado, he can maybe help you in some spiritual areas. You know, I'm not saying his information is bad. But the one that can hold the destiny of your future is the Word of God.
Amen.
Because those writings that I just mentioned, they're not alive. They're not active. Max Lucado's writings, if we're here 200 more years, amen, they probably may be obsolete then. not the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God right now is fresh. It's good for this time. If we're here 200 more years, the people that are living then, they'll be able to benefit from it just as much. What an awesome Word that we serve. Amen. Praise God. We've got libraries full and streets full and book rooms full, but never one of them, none of their great philosophers that's raised and fallen, they have never been able to tell us what this Bible has told us. And all true science moves right back to the Bible for its evidence. It's interesting that Brother Branham puts that in there. Amen. Are we going to believe science or are we going to believe the Bible? I'd rather believe the Bible.
Amen.
Science got it wrong, amen, back in the days of Noah. I wonder if that's not the same thing that's happening today. Sometimes we got our gods, amen, our government gods that are probably telling us not even the truth. I wonder if that's why Jesus didn't say that if it wasn't like this, the days of Noah. That today is like the days of Noah. Everybody's looking up to the sky. Looking for aliens and looking for all kinds of stuff. They got something ready for you. You wait and see. And it ain't what they're telling you right now. So are you going to hold on to the Word of God?
Amen.
Or are you going to hold on to NASA? Or are you going to hold on to science? Just think about it. Amen. Now I want to give this example. Amen. And you know, sometimes we look at the Word and you might still be thinking, well, I mean, I don't know. I still don't know if I could trust it. You know, but let's say you receive a text message from someone on your phone, right? It's a strange number, and you've never seen that number before. Like a lot of us get text messages nowadays saying hi.
Yeah.
You better watch it.
Yeah.
To me, when I get those text messages, it's time to play. It's time to have fun. Oh yeah, and I've had some interesting conversations with some of them, and you know what they turn out to be? They turn out to be people from the Middle East,
right.
India.
Yeah.
That they somehow they got your phone number and they're just trying to be able to get something out of you.
Yeah.
Right? So when somebody says, "Hey, hi, who's this? Oh, isn't this Steve or whatever?" You know, they're trying to start initiate a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I had one the other day that was I initiated a conversation with, and the conversation went into to a point where he started cursing and and I knew right then that it wasn't an Asian.
Yeah.
It wasn't in China. It wasn't because I've been around Asian people long enough that I just know that they're not that way. They're very, but, and I'm not saying this, just understand me. Indian people and people like that, they kind of tend to be more that way, you see? A little bit more abrupt in the way they speak. So that's why I thought that maybe, hey, it might be someone like that. Sure enough, it was. It was somebody from, I believe it was Pakistan. And he got to a political talk. He said, "Well, you Americans, you come over here and you take over our land and all this stuff. And I don't agree with your president and all that stuff." I said, "Listen, I don't agree with him either." He said, "Well, you should go over and shoot your president." I said, "Listen, I even though I disagree with him, I don't mean I'm going to go and do that." I said, "Because for one, I'm a Christian. And the Word of God prohibits for me to do something like that." I mean, after talking longer, and he said, he didn't say anything after that.
Yeah.
So, but I have fun with these people. But anyways, let's say you receive a text message, it's unknown number or whatever, and you're like, "What in the world? Who is this?" All right? Well, you have the right to say who is it because you don't know.
Right.
the person. You don't know the number that's writing you. But what if you receive a text message? What if I receive a text message from Brother Wade? He sends me a text message. And he says something on there. And I know that it's from Brother Wade. Why? Because I've had a personal relationship with him. I've got his name in my contacts. I know that that's him. I know that that's his number. Now, I don't know if maybe Sister June took his phone and sent the text message. But I know that it's coming from a reliable source. Because I have met him and I know him personally. And I have his number saved in my life. In the device of my life. All right? Well, that's the same thing with you and God. God gives us his word. And to you that don't understand God, to you it comes in as a text message that you don't understand. Who's this from? I don't know. It's boring. Amen. But if you had a relationship with God, you would know exactly where that word's coming from. You would know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name that you have in your contacts. And you would reply to that message. And you would do it with confidence. Because you know that you are replying to a reliable source. Amen? That's the word of God. We're not serving cunningly devices or fables or anything like that. It's the true word of God, saints. And if the word said it, I believe it. And that settles it for me. Amen. That settles it for me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Listen, even for Brother Branham, he said, if I say something outside of the word of God, he said, you don't have to take my word. He said, you stay with the absolute. And the absolute wasn't him. The absolute is his word. The word of God, his word. Brother Branham, amen, we know that his life and what he preached, amen, reflected back from the absolute. Amen. If something that Brother Branham said, amen, doesn't line up with the word, I don't have to take what Brother Branham said. That sounds scary. I don't know if I should. But it's what came first, amen, the Bible or the message?
Right.
What was inspired?
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say anything by that because there's sometimes people bring it as if it's a competition. I'd rather have the Bible than the message or the message before the Bible because the message is the revelation of this. No. Amen. There's some things that Brother Branham said that were his own opinion too. But there was a lot of things with regards to the word that was thus saith the Lord. And if you don't receive it, then you're rejecting God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So, I want to stay with the word.
Amen.
I want to stay with the message of the hour because I know the message took me back to the word. Praise the Lord. So, a God-breathed word produces a God-breathed life. Amen. Let the word of God breathe on you tonight. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. If anybody has needed prayer, you're more than welcome to pray with you. Almighty God, we just thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to open back the pages of your word. Just appreciate, Heavenly Father, what you are doing in our lives, Lord. And Father God, speaking, Lord, through your word, Lord. Father God, since you opened, Lord, your mouth to speak, Father God, from the beginning, Lord. And Lord, John caught that thought, Lord God, there in John 1:1, as we've been reading the last several weeks, Lord, here at the services. Lord, caught that same inspiration, Lord, to write what he wrote, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, now, Father God, that word, Father, is elevating. It's coming down and it's now becoming flesh, Father, in a people. Oh God, help us, Lord, to be the recipients and not just be the hearers of your word, but to be the doers, Lord, that that word can live through us, Father, that we will be just like Mary, Lord, that that word, Father God, come and rest in us, Father God, that we could make it alive through our lives, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Let us help me, oh God. I don't know everything about the word and I don't claim to, Lord, but help me, Lord, to get in the Bible, get in the Word more than I ever have, Lord. I know that we all fail in that, Lord. But it's so essential for each and every one of us. I pray that you'd help us. God is direct. Meet every need amongst us. And watch over your people, Lord, as they head out this to their different homes. And bring us back, Lord, safely, Lord, this Sunday to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, we love you, and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calling now, come and has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, sweet, sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master called it, come and dine. Feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calling now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master called it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. It will be a glorious sight. All the saints in trustless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master called it, come and dine. Feast at Jesus' table all the time. When you bring the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calling now, come and dine.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And that's just not for dinner. Not just for dinner time. Amen. Breakfast time, lunch time. Come and dine. The master caller. Amen. Remember this Saturday we have the prayer service at 7. So if you can come, come. And you can be here as long as you want.
Absolutely.
Amen. But if the Lord puts that in your heart, amen, just come. I think we have a practice here on Saturday as well. So at 5 o'clock for a little play that we're going to do Sunday. So. Yeah. So those that are going to be part of it, make sure you come, if you can come. I think some of them, some are not going to be able to, but if you can come, be here for that.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All mine, heart clear.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing that chorus one more time as... You may be dismissed. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Come in, thine master calling.